everybody, and welcome back here to our YouTube channel from the Atlanta Falcons Germany Fan Club. Today we have episode 3, and I'm very happy to have two co-hosts here today. One is Lisa, the famous Lisa from Atlanta. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, y'all. Glad to be back.
And the second one, of course, is Hot Sauce, DJ Hot Sauce here right from Berlin. Have you?
What's up, y'all?
Very good that you are here, Hot Sauce. Sorry, I'm a little bit overexcited. So this will be a really, really great episode today, because we will talk today about the music, about hip hop, about the culture around the rap and everything what is connected with this topic. So I have these two experts here today. So you will see me as the audience, yeah, because I have no idea from the hip hop side in Atlanta and the hip hop side here in Berlin. So that's why Hot Sauce is here and Lisa is here. I'm just here to be here, a little bit smiling, a little bit bringing videos and whatever. So be happy that these two friendly Falcons, nice ladies and guys are here. So let's start first with one breaking news, because we have, or you told me yesterday, Lisa, something we have to bring for all of you here of the audience, because we know who will join us in Berlin to the game, and you will see it, say it. Ta-da-da-da. Say something, Lisa.
Oh, my bad. John Abraham and Gerald Ridd, some OG Falcons players. I'm so excited that they will be making the trip over. I've met them both, and you know, it's just good when Falcons, former players, we often call them legends, you know, stay connected to the team. So, yes, looking forward to them making the trip. But, you know, our running is not a joke, because we're serious about it. Bring Jamal to Berlin. That is our charge. We want to get Jamal to Berlin because that is one of the reasons why Alex Santos is a Falcons fan today.
Yes. Of course, that's the reason, and we will not stop this. For all those who maybe are not with this player so into it, because it's a little bit a long time ago.
Yeah,
John Abraham is the second best sacking leader in Falcons history. He had about, I think, 63 or 64 sacks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the 2000 era, and Garrett Ricks is the best running back with about 6,800 yards in the 70s, in the 80s, something like that. Yeah, in the 80s.
The 80s.
Two big legends. So we are glad that they will join us here in Berlin. Not Jamal right now, but we will maybe make something happens. We will see what happens then. Okay.
Yes, bring Jamal to Berlin. We're serious.
Bring Jamal to Berlin. So let's start with our first and most important topic right now. We will talk about Atlanta and the hip hop. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you should start Lisa, because you can tell us maybe a little bit, and then Hot Sauce, and you had to introduce you maybe then a little bit, because for those who don't know, you stayed in Atlanta for 6-7 years. Maybe we start with this, why you are here, because you are not only a DJ here in Berlin, you are also, and now for you, and you please.
Yes, so I used to live in Atlanta. I moved to Atlanta when I was around 20-21 to work in the music and hip-hop industry there. So I was lucky enough to be there, I would say, right at the height of Atlanta hip-hop, mid-early 2000s. So I moved there in 06 and then stayed there for about 6-7 years. Worked as a recording engineer, DJ, recorded some classic records, some might say, but Yeah.
Tell us. Can you tell? Well, can you? Because I'm interested in knowing this.
Yes. So I was part of. I worked at with the Camp, Big Records.
You might be
familiar. So all of Unk's songs, rest in peace, Unk. Recorded two of his albums. Recorded Baby D a lot. So that's an underground Atlanta artist. But folks from Atlanta obviously will know these guys. Been around, are legends in Atlanta. Sammy Sam, I recorded him. Ying Yang Twins, worked with them. Not from Atlanta, 3-6 Mafia, also Shorty Low, rest in peace, T.I. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of folks from that era.
I love this. Oh my God, I'm so hyped. Okay.
So yeah, Atlanta hip hop is what I grew up on. And that's when I became a Falcons fan when I moved there. So that ties it all back in together. And I now live in Berlin. And that's why we're here.
I love it. Oh my goodness. Okay. I didn't even know. I didn't know about your... I knew you had been in Atlanta, but I didn't know, you know, why and that you had recorded with some pretty significant ATL artists. So that's good to know.
That's why he is here today, because he's also an expert like you, Lisa. And he chose then Berlin. I mean, your original roots are not from Berlin, isn't it?
No, I'm originally from the south of Germany, around Munich area. Okay. But I moved up in here about 2.5 years now. No, actually 4 years almost. Yeah, true. So... Yeah.
Welcome to Berlin, not to Atlanta. Welcome to Berlin.
Do you guys have like a welcome to Berlin song? Is there any anything comparable to, you know, represent Berlin as a city musically?
Yeah, there's some. While it might not be the exact like welcome to Berlin, but there's some that definitely like stand out. You know, that's like Berlin for sure. Yeah,
I love.
We'll get to that in a little bit as well.
I can't wait to check out the music scene once I get there.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So let's start first with Atlanta. So it begins in Atlanta and how it begins. Yeah. Just tell us a little bit when exactly came this Atlanta hip hop style up. I mean, for those who have no so much relation to hip hop and rap, they will know about East Coast hip hop and West Coast hip hop. So this is the two big stages. Yeah, let's say it like this: when Atlanta came into this game, because it's totally, for me, totally different style to the others. So who were the founding fathers? Yeah, how everything starts? Can you tell us?
I do think we start with pretty much, you know, New York being where hip hop and rap started. And, you know, that's not for debate. But then hip hop and rap kind of moved to the West Coast. So Atlanta was just kind of really not in the midst nationally. Right. But then I'm sure, you know, Hot Sauce, the Source Awards, when Outkast won, and they actually got booed when they went on stage to accept the award. And that's when Andre 3000, you know, said, and it's like an Atlanta, you know, motto, you know, the South got something to say. Like, because at that point, it really hadn't been recognized nationally, like the New York hip hop artists and the West Coast artists like Snoop, Dr. Dre. So ATL will always be connected to Outkast, at least musically for that moment, because it's historical. It's something that we say. You see it all over the city, even in the State Farm Arena where the Atlanta Hawks play. It says the South got something to say. So that has just resonated. And, it, you know, we talk about sports, you know, music and how that's combined. But I have to say, Outkast, the Dungeon Family were really seminal in really bringing the hip hop scene, the Atlanta hip hop scene and rap nationally. And there is a mural in Little Five Points dedicated to Outkast. And it's really cool because Big Boy actually is wearing a Falcons jersey in that mural. So, I mean, Outkast is just embedded into the city, just in a way that, you know, we have a lot of artists, but you're not going to talk ATL hip hop and not talk about Outkast. It's just not going to happen. It's impossible.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
All outcast for those when you don't know about the music, but the last year the Falcons also produced the fashion style with outcast itself. Wasn't it? Or was it this year? I don't remember.
It was last season. Oh, yes, exactly. Yes, so yeah. Outcast collaborated with the Falcons, and it was two hoodies. One was black, one was white. But again, how Outcast is just embedded into the city, beyond the Falcons, the Atlanta Braves, our baseball team, they recognize Outkast. They do like giveaways. And so the giveaways were these Atlanta Braves / Outkast bobbleheads. You know what the bobblehead is? It's like a figurine and the head bobbles. Yeah. They were in sole demand. And normally the Braves don't run back giveaways. Like once there's a giveaway and it's gone, then it's gone, right? But the next season, they brought the bobbleheads back because people were complaining. Like, it was a big deal. Like,
I'm still trying to get mine. Get I don't have
up,
it.
You know what I'm saying? So Outkast is Atlanta when it comes to music. And they are intertwined in, like, the fabric of the city. Any party you go to in the ATL, somebody going to drop an Outkast song. It's just what it is. So...
Sounds very good. Next to Outkast, maybe we drop some other names. One or the other had to hear about.
You think about Ludacris. You think about T.I. You think about Pastor Troy. I mean, there are, and I will say, a lot of these artists in some form or fashion are connected to the Falcons. You know, Pastor Troy is a member of the Dirty Bird's Nest, as you can see right here. Oh, yeah. So he definitely kicks it, you know, with the team. Like, seriously, he is a Falcons fan. This is not something that he's faking. Pastor Troy is down for real for the team. And so we just have so many artists. And I know we'll talk a little bit later about how all the hip hop artists, you know, from Atlanta over time came to represent hip hop. So we'll get into that a little bit later.
Perfect. Let's try to make a similarity or maybe to compare it maybe with Berlin. How it starts the hip hop scene, and we have a hip hop scene here in Germany, but especially also in Berlin. How it starts here and when they get some connections also to Atlanta, because this is something I learned right now in the back end. We have some connection, not only football wise and with the community. So with the music, there is a connection still existing. So how everything began in Berlin?
Yeah. So, well, Berlin has a pretty huge hip hop scene. Actually, Berlin is one of the biggest hip hop cities in Germany. For German hip hop. And it kind of started in a similar way, you know, looking at what's going on in the US. It was more so East Coast, the type of boom bap style sound, where you had artists basically taking that style and bringing it to Germany and making German hip hop out of it, using elements from there. One of the biggest artists, for sure, I would say that nationally blew up was Bushido. I think we have a quick example we can show for you, so you can kind of catch like not the early, but some of the first heights of Berlin hip hop sound.
Yeah. Let's play the clip, and we have to make here a disclaimer. We record this not live, and when we uploaded this, I don't know what YouTube will do. So if you don't see the clip right now, or you don't listen to any music or hear any music, then I had to edit it later. So we apologize, but we will try. So let's play the clip. 15 seconds, no longer, because YouTube is not allowing more. So just hear Bushido with Sonnen. How was the title? Sonnen?
Sonnenbank Flavor.
Sonnenblank Flavor for you right now.
Okay.
How long? I want to say 15 years ago, almost, like something like that. So I would say you don't hear a lot of, like, you know, no influences from Atlanta or Southern hip hop there yet. But over time, obviously through the internet and everything that made possible, Instagram, Facebook, all those days, all of that sound, as Atlanta hip hop sound grew, the influences on German hip hop became huge for like all of the trap music sounds that came out. So you had artists like, for example, an artist named UFO 361 here in Berlin. He even made an entire album titled 808, and it's basically all trap beats. And he early on in his career even made a song titled Migos, which is an homage to the Migos, a rap group from Atlanta. Some of you may know Quavo. He's also been in a bunch of Falcons videos. I think maybe even the schedule release from like a couple years ago when he's on the top of Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, he was on the roof. Yeah.
Exactly. And he made a song titled Migos, which is basically like, I'm such a big fan, I'm just going to make an homage to these guys. So I think we also have an example of that for you to see.
Let's do it. One second.
Oh, okay. So I'm in for it.
Yeah, pretty hard. 15 seconds only.
you can tell the trap beats for sure made it over here as well. Mm-hmm. Same kind of style. So this was early in his career. He then built a big name for himself out here and was eventually able to actually get Quavo on a song. So he actually did a feature with Quavo just a couple years ago. And I think he has more than one. He actually also has, a song with Gunna. And another German rap artist and him, they have a feature together with Lil Baby. So that whole influence of like, I would say like the current wave of the biggest Atlanta rap stars is definitely huge here. And Quavo even shouts out Berlin in the song. So I think we can quickly play that snippet as well.
Listen to it. All for real.
Quavo.
Yeah, so bring Quavo to Berlin as well, I would say. He needs to just come on over with
all of them. All of them.
Hit him up on the internet and be like, hey, you making a trip. We gotta get him there.
Yeah, that video might have actually been shot here. I don't recall, but he was here a couple times already performing. So I think that's during that time they made that song. So yeah, and current sound in Berlin, I would say, is definitely that style as well. Like it kind of leans into what's hot around like the whole Gunna, Lil Baby, that type of vibe currently. Mm-hmm. Influenced with other sounds from across Germany, we also have a big like Middle Eastern population here. That also influences the sound here as well. Cool. Always, but hey, that's cool. It's definitely tied in. Way more waste than you would think, Berlin and Atlanta. So,
and I love it. Oh my! You don't understand how happy I am right now.
Yes, we have one more song, Hot Sauce, Fendi Drip. Yep. Can you say?
Oh yeah,
something?
Fendi Drip. That's the one I mentioned with it's Luciano and UFO with that is with Lil Baby. I think the one. Yes.
Liberate. Let's play this, yeah, because we have it here. Yeah, let's go. Okay.
So yeah, okay. Vibes for sure.
Yeah.
So maybe game day when game day comes around and we'll be doing some parties. I already know that for sure. We might be able to play Atlanta and German hip hop at the same time, you know?
That's what I want. I definitely want to see like
yes, now that's going to happen.
Okay.
Nice. Sounds really good, and we have also these songs in full version in our the playlist. You made a playlist. Yeah,
made a quick playlist. Atlanta, Berlin connection. You can go on Spotify and listen to the tracks.
Oh,
yes. And I think Alessandro's will have the link in the description
down below. Yeah, and when you scroll down, don't forget, because we have here a new feature. Yeah, a new update from our system here, and I will play it right now, because look here, bam, like and subscribe. Yeah, you can use the time when you're searching for the link. Hit the like button and subscribe our YouTube channel here or the podcast channel or whatever. Yeah, it's episode 3 and we will have a lot of more. Yeah, and if you liked, just listen to episode 1 and 2. Last episode, we talk about a little bit of the history, Juneteenth, and the 9th of November when the play, the game is here in Berlin from the Falcons. This is a big, not public holiday, but a big day also for Germany because the wall was falling in 1989. So very interesting for all of the of those who didn't listen to the second episode. You can do it over there. In the description below, you find everything. Let's go to my next question because I would like to know when you talk all of these hip hop artists, and I mean there are a lot of hip hop artists in Atlanta and even here in Berlin. Who you would say is the one who represents Atlanta the most? You said Outkast as well, but is this when you can you say it first? And if yes, why?
Well, I mean, are you talking current or are you just talking like
that
who? Wait, what'd you say?
Same question I had because you spoke about this earlier, and I was like, you can't because you have to.
Perfect.
Certain decades or, you know, certain...
Right.
Like,
that's what I want to hear because this is not one person. It's about a long period. So just maybe we go decade by decade and have some names in repeat maybe again.
Maybe we could possibly do like a top 5, I would say, okay, which is also very hard to do. But I mean, number one for me is always Outkast. We always start there.
Yeah,
but I would say other good representatives for Atlanta hip hop through the decades is T.I., Future.
Okay.
Then Future. You have to put Migos, Lil Baby, who we just talked about, like mm-hmm. more so for the last couple of years. And
what about Ludacris?
Ludacris, yeah.
No.
In, as far as Atlanta hip hop sound. Defining the sound, he would be there, but
yeah,
not
I would
all
not
the
put
way.
It not with that being the criteria.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
And again, you got to remember at least Outkast and Future, they have a connection through the Dungeon Family.
True.
So, and shout out to, you know, rest in peace, Rico Wade. I have to say that as well.
Yeah,
he was
Rico Wade is basically the founder of like the Dungeon Family or like the head of mm-hmm. it.
And just tell us a little bit more about. Just tell us a little bit more about this Dungeon Family because it was founded where exactly?
So in Rico, the house that Rico Wade grew up in, his mother, the house had an unfinished basement. So not only Outkast, but Goody Mob recorded there, right? So it was literally an unfinished basement. And the mom, you know, Rico's mother was just like, you know, I'm going to let, you know, these young men be creative in a space where I know they'll be safe, right? So, I mean, they called the Dungeon Family. I mean, it wasn't a dungeon. It was in the basement of a house. But they literally talked about in their early years, they slept there. They recorded, like it was truly just how they connected and created musically. So
they're growing like a family then.
Dungeon Family. And just, you know, there's actually a documentary about the Dungeon Family that came out several years ago that's really, really good. And Rico just talks about, you know, and that the basement was unfinished and there was literally like Georgia red clay at the bottom, like, you know, it was an unfinished basement, but that's just so much creativity came from that situation. So and their humble beginnings, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Big Boy did an Instagram post a while back stating that people who want to go to the home where all that magic happened, they can do so via Airbnb,
yes,
which I thought was pretty cool.
I think he bought the house and he's renting it out as an Airbnb at the moment.
Yes. So, yeah. Okay. So for true like hip hop heads who just want to you know, go to where the place where so much music was created, and not only, you know, it was influential in Atlanta, but really all over the world. You know what I'm saying? Outkast is well known throughout the world at this point. Course, so, but I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Where is this house located in Atlanta? So
I think it's in East Point. Oh, I think
right. Mm-hmm.
East Point.
It's
so
close to the airport. For that's probably the easiest to describe it. For
yeah,
you.
Close to the airport.
Still okay. Atlanta. I mean, it's metropolitan yeah. Atlanta.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, this is quite interesting, and that's why I was asking like this to understand that. It was not one artist, and this would be the next question. Do we have something to compare in Berlin or in Germany what grow like this? And I would say, with my knowledge, no. I don't know. Yeah, but well, I would say no.
Yes, I would say yes, actually. Agro Berlin. Okay. There was a rap group named Agro Berlin. Yeah. The first artist we heard, he was kind of part of this, and then you had a bunch of other artists spread out from there. Oh, I think we lost Lisa right there.
We lost Lisa. No problem. Just
yes. We will bring her back on speed later. But yes, I would say that you had a couple movements like this. Agro Berlin, which was like a collective of artists. I think that could be something similar actually to that.
That was a label, isn't it?
Agro Berlin? label, but also like a whole movement just in itself. So you had a bunch of different rap artists. It was at least like 15 to 20 artists overall combined. Kind of also like a family almost.
Ah, okay, interesting. So the biggest name of this Agro Berlin, I mean, Bushido was one.
Yes, then you had Flair, if you remember Flair.
Flair?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't have... I can say it. I mean, the most of you know that I'm in real life, I'm a physiotherapist. So I can say I had Flair as my patient. So
there you have it. We were just talking about German rap artists, Lisa, in case you missed it.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. Flair was one of my patients, and he is huge. Yeah, he is big boy. He is muscled, and I had a lot to do. So greetings to Flair. It was hard.
But I believe it. I wanted to say, I think one more name specifically for Atlanta that we haven't talked about yet, we missed. I just want to make sure we mention his name. That's Lil Jon.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for saving me.
Also,
because ATL is watching this. Yes, y'all.
Lil Jon's sound defined the whole era in Atlanta, and not just in Atlanta, like in hip-hop in general. And I think he was part of spreading it even further, because Outkast were the first to like put Atlanta like really on the hip hop scene in the on the map, but then Lil Jon's sound spread it worldwide.
And Lil Jon Usher connection blew up, like it just did. And those songs to this day still rock. And so thank you. I could not leave Lil Jon out, and his musical influence, it's just amazing.
What was the most famous song?
The most famous is the Usher song, as Lisa mentioned, with the
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys remember when Usher did the halftime show for Super Bowl in Las Vegas. He closed with Yeah. And then Lil Jon was part of the performance, and they kind of ended that the show with and doing the A-Town Stomp. So Usher had Atlanta woven throughout his performance, and he literally said that was it. He told y'all, I'm going to bring the A to y'all. And that's exactly what he did in that performance. And Lil Jon was instrumental in that.
Hopefully 2028, we will get a Super Bowl halftime performance that pays homage to Atlanta sound. Not like last time, because that was criminal. That was horrible.
I feel like Sleepy Brown and Big Boy, again, Dungeon Family, they only got like 30 seconds.
And Travis Scott? He's not even from Atlanta.
I mean,
whatever.
We passed that.
We're hopefully 2028, we get something nice.
Give us the Super Bowl, the Atlanta Super Bowl musical halftime that we should have had. So,
absolutely. And just because we mentioned Usher, as we're recording this, it is MLB All-Star Weekend in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And there just shows you, again, the influence of Atlanta music, because Usher has a collection out with the Braves that they did for All-Star Weekend. So that's another, like, you know, music tied in with Atlanta sports moments. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Usher has a really nice collection, and, you know, he's known for saying peace up, A-Town down. So for the collection, all the A's are upside down.
And yeah, so you get the Braves hat with the upside down A.
Yeah, with the and yeah, so it just goes to music and sports in Atlanta go together. They absolutely do.
Alan Russom did this move in the video, isn't it?
Yeah, he did. He definitely did it. Yeah, he was shouting out the fans in Germany, and he did that on his own. He was just like, you know, that's what we do around here. You know, we throwing up the A's all day
long. All day long A's. And Alex Santos, I mean.
Of course, you have perfect. Come on.
The connection.
And I love, and that's why when I tell people that the German fans rep at the A just like they were raised here, y'all do. And that was one reason I was so glad to get connected to you, Alex Santos, you, DJ Hot Sauce, and, you know, y'all's crew, because of how you rep the city. And I just think that's super cool. And that's another reason why I'm glad that we get to reciprocate, you know. I don't know if Berlin has a hand sign, but if y'all got anything to rep Berlin, we're going to do it while we over there.
Not sure we got that, but we'll find something.
maybe we produce by ourselves something. So let's go. I mean, Hot Sauce is a music engineer here, so it's easy. It's easy. No problem. No problem. Wow. Very good. Sounds really, really good. Maybe we can bring two well-known music songs you play, or not you, but the Falcons play also in the stadium. Just to talk a little bit about them, because they are so famous. You talk in the beginning about Welcome to Berlin, because the original is Welcome to Atlanta. For those who did not know this song, and I'm sure it's not possible that someone here is not knowing about, but let us play shortly the beginning, and then let us talk a little bit about these artists. I think it's interesting because it's one of the most famous songs when you're thinking about Atlanta for the tourist side here from the other part of the Atlantic. So just a second.
Jacket, hammers, and bones. Back to the Mac and Jack and the clothes. Adolescents packing a phone. A knock on the door. Who is it?
So, these two gentlemen were not Bartkowski, I'm sure. So, who was the one and the other?
Ludacris, officially known as Luda, and Jermaine Dupri of So Def Recordings.
Jermaine Dupri will be in the next topic, so we will remember Jermaine Dupri. This song is, I mean, you hear it everywhere. Yeah, you can see in reels and in stories on Instagram, you have always this song, I think, when you go on social media. One of the famous songs, or is it more like a mainstream song for all these Atlanta tourists? What would you say?
I mean, no, it's Seminole, Atlanta. Like, you know, it was super, again, putting Atlanta on the map, right? You know what I'm saying? And representing over time. Mm-hmm. You can't talk music without mentioning Atlanta in some form or fashion. And, you know, beyond hip hop, certainly R&B, singer Monica's from Atlanta. You know, she's well known. She's actually about to go on tour, Brandy. But no, that's an Atlanta staple. And I do really, I have to mention too, the remix for Welcome to Atlanta, where it was like Puffy, you know, representing New York, Snoop representing the West Coast. It was, I can't remember, was Nelly in there representing St. Louis? I can't remember.
Murphy Lee, I think, from the same.
Oh, right, St. Louis, right. So that was really cool, because then you're talking, you know, how hip hop, you know, nationally kind of has the artists to represent their city. But yeah, Welcome to Atlanta. I mean, that still rides. I never get tired of it, but obviously I'm biased. But
yeah, what I love about the song is the build up, that intro is like when you play it in the stadium, it pushes the crowd. You know, it gives you that edge, like that something's about to go down.
Right.
Like, that's what I love most about the record, like the intro with the beat drop like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a good stadium song.
Very cool. And we have another good stadium song, and we have to put it here. And we can see some of proud wearing jerseys as well. Not Borkowski, another quarterback. So let us drop this song for 15 seconds. Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
I mean, they're also perfect. The sports and music tied in. Again, he's wearing Michael Vick's jersey. But in the background, I don't know if you noticed, it says Archie, but the lettering is the Braves. It's the Braves logo, but it's his name. So another moment where sports and music in Atlanta is connected.
And there's a point where the Dirty Birds Nest specifically, they'll play that song and we chant it. And then they stop playing the song, and it's just our voices, and it just kind of, it's magical. Like, you know, and you can, the players get hyped. Like, we really do impact the players. They see, you know, when fans are cheering, when the music, because if it gets us hyped, it's going to get them hyped, and that energy transfers to the field, and hopefully they're playing, and hopefully we get a win that day, right? So... But that that bangs.
That is a banger. Many teams play it now, and I always get mad at it when I hear it in other stadiums because I'm like, "That's not your song. That is not your song."
That's Atlanta. And I will say, because you know, I'm sure you guys know, you know, when we go to road games, ATL music is played.
Yeah.
Everywhere, almost at every venue I've been to. So yeah.
Very cool. And you mentioned this connection to the style and to the sport. So we had in the past, of course, some other artists, and we have some examples here. We don't want to miss some really, really old school and from the sound, but we have to play it here. And I love it because this was in my time growing up in the 80s, one of the stars, because starting with MTV, looking to music videos, he was all over the place. I didn't realize the Falcons way or the Falcons style, but everyone knows him. So just be surprised who's right now here.
Right. I got the key.
And I got the book.
Call him up, man. It's on. Brandon Plumps.
Give me the girls with the pumps and a pump. That's when I pop. Then I hit another slap from up. Just to see me with the pump and a pump.
Right. Classic. Them throwback jerseys, man, were lit. I love that. But yes, MC Hammer and Deion Sanders Primetime were really good friends. And so Hammer would be on the sidelines at the Falcons games, repping the Dirty Birds. Yep.
There's a documentary. You can find it on YouTube, I think, with the 91 Falcons. And they talk about the music, Glanville and all this new style, all black. Deion Sanders, very, very highly recommended to watch this because it brings this kind of vibe. I mean, in the beginning, and Hot Sauce will remember, we did already one podcast 2 years ago, 1 year, 1.5 years ago.
About a year and a half, I would say.
Yeah, about the hip-hop style from Atlanta. So you will find it in the description down below, if you like. It's in German, but we talk about there. And that was like the first time when I heard about Atlanta and hip-hop, I was always thinking it's only MC Hammer. So for me, it was, okay.
Alessandro was thinking the only connection Falcons and music had was MC Hammer.
Yes.
So I had to school him. I had to, you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
I learned a lot. Yeah. I wish to learn. And I was like this. I mean, I'm in Atlanta and
but music. But they
be told. MC only. Okay. We lost Lisa. We lost her. So, sorry about that. No, everything is fine. Yeah, but this is how it it came in documentaries. I found here in the early 2000s and everything. So there was no internet big and just one documentary in the mainstream television, and then MC Hammer popped up, and then okay, it's Atlanta is MC Hammer, so finished. And then Hot Sauce told me, no, wait, we have to talk about this. Wow. Yeah. Okay. We have some other big names. Just bring this song here, and I'm very sure you know about this song. It's very famous. Just look here. World over, it's a New York getting bold. Come on. Dealing with it. What do you miss my loving, my talking, my loving? It's a New York getting bold. Yeah, we have Michael
Bobby Brown and Ja Rule.
Yeah, all the classic vibes.
And thank it's
just,
you.
That just shows you what a cultural impact Michael Vick had. You know, his jersey being in all those videos. That, by the way, is my favorite jersey of all time. That white Michael Vick jersey. But I know it's right there, Alessandro. I know.
I have it here. I showed
and
it last time.
That's why I had to meet him, y'all. I don't know if you watched the last episode, Hot Sauce, but when I saw that Michael Vick was making an appearance in New York, I was like, I got to go. Because I have been in spaces in Atlanta, but between the fans and security, it just never was going to happen.
Yeah.
So this was an environment where I could meet him properly and pay him respect. And he was so humble, so nice, and so cool. I just had to do it. That definitely was a highlight of my summer, meeting Michael.
Amazing.
Yeah, very good. Very, very cool. But Ja Rule and Bobby Brown has no connection to Atlanta, isn't it?
No, none at all. No. Ja Rule's from New York and Bobby Brown from Boston.
From Boston. Okay.
But so, that's what I meant. Like, you know, him wearing the Michael Vick jersey is like, either he thought the jersey was fly, but most likely he was like, Michael Vick is the coolest player. I got to like put this on, you know, like.
This era in the early 2000s with Michael Vick was.
Yeah, he was just flashy, and they tried to, it fit all fits in with that.
They tried to copy us. Okay, I have one short one, and maybe you recognize who is the one of the stars here. Just have a look. It's not there Julio Jones. No.
And that is the T.I. song, Rubber Band Man. And it actually had Usher and Michael Vick. So it all kind of comes full circle. Michael Vick claims he doesn't dance, so he just did a little two-step in that. But yeah, that was T.I.'s Rubber Band Man.
Mm-hmm. So it's with Deion Sanders, MC Hammer, starts maybe. Yeah, you bring football players into music videos. So you see this, or we see this connection always has been around Atlanta for at least. I don't know. Is there any other football teams in the NFL? Maybe our very beloved neighbors from New Orleans? Do you hear something about?
Well, I don't think there's any other team that has such a strong connection to the music as the Falcons. I mean, New Orleans is a huge music city. The music history there is rich and goes way back with jazz and everything.
Jazz, okay.
Also hip-hop. Hip-hop from New Orleans is also, there's great hip-hop artists from New Orleans. But the team doesn't, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, but I don't feel like the team does embrace it as much as the Falcons do.
I haven't seen it, not to the level that we do it at all.
Yeah.
You told me some days ago from Juvenile, is it the correct
Juvenile.
Name? Juvenile, sorry. He posted something about the Falcons hip-hop thing, and why don't – I think you have the post, Hot Sauce, on your mobile?
Yes. So when Ludacris came from the roof of the Benz, Juvenile was asking at the Saints – what we're going to do on January 7th, that's when they played the Falcons, if they're going to do something crazy. And what did they do?
Nothing. They did nothing. They did zero. And yeah, and the thing was, you know, Atlanta, that was when we were acknowledging 50 years of hip hop. And so Atlanta had this whole big production. It was a big deal. And I actually thought, you know, that New Orleans would have done something. They have a rich hip hop history as well, but they didn't do anything.
I think the Falcons actually were the only team in the entire NFL to really like present or raise awareness about 50 years of hip hop and do something with it. They did it local. You know, they did not invite whatever the biggest 50 stars of hip hop in general. They celebrated Atlanta hip hop. So.
So we are right in the next topic, this 50 years of hip hop. And 1 year later, the Falcons also produce a big documentary about. And the beginning was, and let us talk about even Tamika Rich. Lisa, I know that you will talk a little about her and this documentary because you were part of it. Yeah, and it was. Just tell us what you feel about and how it was for you to go to this game. I was there too. Yeah, I was there too. It was fantastic. Yeah, but let's start with the statement here from Tamika to know about why they did this 50 years celebration.
In sports, we benefit from the hip hop community because that's the soundtrack of our events.
So very clear. This is the sound of our fans. So you see Atlanta, the Falcons, and they know about what the fans are listening to, and they bring this together. And this event, I think we talked about last time or the first time, I don't know, in the first episode, but we can repeat it because it was a huge, 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 big, big event. Or isn't it, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, I will say when, like a year before the event, I believe the Falcons said, we're going to be doing something to celebrate 50 years of hip hop. So they kind of put a teaser out there. But of course, as fans, we're not quite sure, you know, what that means. So as the date gets closer and they announce, you know, that they'll be acknowledging 50 years of hip hop at the Saints game and kind of stay tuned. Then kind of little by little, they started releasing the names of local artists or hip hop artists, you know, that would be invited. And again, through the decades. And as that list, I was like it was heavy hitters, right? From the beginning to current. But I also want to acknowledge that was also the game that the Falcons debuted these Dirty Bird chains. And it was also the game where the Falcons had this t-shirt made acknowledging 50 years of hip hop. So you cool. not only have the actual music, but you just kind of also have the aesthetic, right? We all know hip hop, people love their big blingy chains. And so, and I will say, because not all fans initially were able to have access to these chains caused a little bit of a ruckus. Like, you know what I mean?
I spent my liver for this chain here.
So this was, and I've never seen any other NFL franchise, you know, have any merch that repped their team in this particular way. I mean, we all got t-shirts, we all have hoodies, you know, but this, no.
Nothing like that, no.
Yeah, and I am glad that the Falcons made the chains more accessible because people, these were in high demand. And also, the artists that were part of the celebration, they got customized Black Falcons jerseys with the number 50 to recognize 50 years of hip hop. And then, you know, whatever their artist name was on the back. So they also got the Dirty Birds chain. So that as an Atlantan, it's really hard to express what that particular event meant. You had 50 years of hip hop and the fact that the artists came together. And what was really cool, I don't know if y'all paid attention, but when they were being announced and they were going onto the field for the pregame, you know, show, they were literally taking in the moment, you know, repping the Falcons, repping Atlanta hip hop. They were really enjoying themselves and just enjoying the moment and having a good time. So that was super, super cool in and of itself. None of us knew that later in that game, Ludacris would be rappelling from the roof of the bed. Like, what is happening, right? And one of the funniest moments, because I think it went viral, Jameis Winston was rapping to, you know, as Ludacris was rappelling down.
Jameis that was Winston hilarious.
I think Derek Carr, I think he just thrown an interception or something. But Jameis is paying attention to Luda rapping to Derek Carr. The whole scene was wild. So it just really just goes to, because I'm like, you're not preparing for the game, sir. Why are you over here rapping to Ludacris? But it was just, I mean, it was what it was. It was just one of those moments. And then to see the imagery of Luda, you know, coming down from the roof, that was amazing. But I really give credit to the Falcons because they even took it a step further. They, you know, had the event and all that that entailed. Now, you got to remember, you know, they have to get, you know, they had to pitch it to the artists, you know, get them to come. And, you know, artists got all kind of different schedules, but they had so many of the Atlanta artists, you know, to show up for that game. And for the love of the Falcons, for the love of hip hop, it all came together that moment. And, you know, something in my spirit, because there was a point in that game where we were losing. And then Jesse Bates got a pick six. I was like, we're not losing this game. We not, you know, it was just so Atlanta. You're like, you can't lose this game. It's just too much on the line. So that was really, really fun. But beyond the actual game day event, the Falcons then turned around and produced an entire documentary on, you know, why this was important. And I, like I said, I love my city and I love my team because nobody else did that. Nobody else really wanted to acknowledge the impact that music, specifically hip hop, has. And the tie to the Falcons is just really, is undeniable. And that's why Tamika said, you know, hip hop is the soundtrack of the events that the Falcons put on. So, I mean, those are her words.
What you said right now is this how you feel in this event, and I told you that listened to a podcast with Shannon Joyner, the marketing, let's call it marketing boss, and he said in the podcast, we are not the Falcons, we are the Atlanta Falcons, and for us the biggest topic every year is to get this fan experience during the game, and what all around, bring it to a higher and to a higher and to a higher stage every time. And this is something you can feel even here. I don't know how many, 6,000 miles. I don't know in miles. It's about 9,000 kilometers around. Yeah. You can feel it here. Yeah. You are not in Atlanta and you feel this vibe. Yeah. And this is what it makes for me even so special. Yeah. And to know that I choose 30 years ago, and thanks to Jamal Anderson, of course, the right team. I mean, that's it. How you said, it's you feel and you see all these hip-hop artists. And I mean, I don't know them all. And yeah, of course, not personally. Nothing. But you saw this proudness. They go on the field and was taking selfies.
They were
and
so happy.
Celebrating. Yeah. They were so happy. And it was like, okay, this is something special. Yeah.
Really, and they even talked about it being a family reunion, even though they're in Atlanta. Not everybody lives in Atlanta, although most do, you know, to be honest. Okay. Most of the artists that were there do live here. But and it was special because not shortly thereafter, we lost Rico Wade. Right. Mm. So it was just important. And them repping the Falcons, you know, repping the genre of music that they helped to create and put Atlanta on the map. I'll never forget that. And like I said, I was excited when they announced they were doing something, but I didn't know what they were doing. And even when they, you know, provide the list of people that will be in attendance, I'm like, well, how is this going to work? But, you know, and one of my, you know, all-time favorite groups is TLC. And they were there, you know what I mean? Yeah, and they were, you know, Chili is from Atlanta, but they they were based here in Atlanta. So just, I mean, from the hardcore hip hop to TLC, any and everybody that made a musical imprint was invited for that event, and they showed up.
TLC was in my time, and with what kind of hip hop I connected here, because I was not so into it like Hot Sauce or you, but TLC was all over the place here too, with MTV and everything, Waterfalls and all these famous songs. And I was like, when they came up for this 90 seconds short show they did on the field, and it was like, for me, even like having goosebumps and like, wow, TLC now, it was incredible. I mean, and how you said all these artists bring it together, and Tamika said it in the video, this big event to calculate how you have someone on the roof with all the technique and the sound and everything. I mean, Hot Sauce can imagine how impossible is to realize something like that. It looks very easy, but it was like, I don't know how you can compare it, but it was a very big event to bring all together, not only the artists, but the technical side.
Side. There were a couple of hiccups, but that still could diminish, you know, the overall, know, impact of what. And again, it was, I mean, they talk about, you know, basically when you have an event like that, you know, and with performances in different areas of the stadium at different times. And, you know, basically they were just like, you know, there are no do-overs. If something doesn't work, then it just doesn't work. And you just have to go on with the show. But I mean, I'm stumbling over my words only because I was just so proud that day. And I remain proud. And then to be part of the documentary, come on, y'all. Like, as a Falcons fan, as a music fan, there was no greater moment. And it was completely, I mean, in my wildest dreams, you know, if you had said, oh, Lisa, as a Falcons fan, you're going to get to talk about Atlanta hip hop. What are you talking about? And being a documentary for the Falcons. I mean, that, I won't say it's my claim to fame, but it's one of my proudest moments as an ATLian and as a Falcons fan. Because it was such a unique experience, because I lived it as a fan, and then I got to recall it in a documentary that will, you know, that'll be in the history books. And as, you know, because of course, you know, my interview, I was, you know, interviewed by myself. I had no idea who else was going to be in that, you know, in that documentary, and to be in the video, you know, or in a documentary with Big Boy and Pastor Troy and T.I. and Bone Crusher and all these other folks, you know, come on, y'all. Like, that was
and Lisa, cool. Of course, and Lisa, Bone Crusher and Lisa. That's why I'm tell everyone here, you are famous. I mean, that's it. That's it. Very easy. Very, very easy. When I ask now Hot Sauce if we have something similar, I would say again, because I'm dumb and stupid about this culture thing in Berlin, we don't have anything to compare like this. But you will now say no.
You know, the biggest, well, Berlin has sports, but the two, I'm gonna call it soccer on here. The two soccer teams that we have are not like the most successful. And they sometimes tie in music. I think one of them, which is Hertha, they more so tie in some of the newer hip hop stuff, actually, that now that I think about it. But it's not as like culturally intertwined as with the Falcons and hip hop there. But there was a 50 years of hip hop celebration in Berlin. They did something here at the Oberbaumbrücke, which is a famous bridge just here in Berlin. Actually, that's the backdrop of the poster you showed with the Berlin takeover. Yeah. There it is in the background. So they had that lit up with a light show showing 50 years of hip hop going through all the stages and the South, and Atlanta was also part of it. So you had, I forgot which artist it was, but you had a couple artists. It was like a 10-minute a rotating video. That was one of the celebrations Berlin did for 50 years of hip hop. So I would say more than some other cities did. So hey,
is that on YouTube or anywhere where I can see it?
It might be. I will check. I will check. And if it is, we'll put a link.
Okay, perfect.
In the description below.
I would love to see that. That is so cool.
I know I have a video of it, but not sure if it's anywhere public, but I'll check.
Got it. Okay.
We will check it. Because we talk about the famous Lisa in the documentary with Tamika and the Falcons, we had another famous event right now we should talk about, because you were on Monday, last Monday, is it right?
Mm-hmm. Monday, yep.
Last Monday. You were on a special event with, and now the name drops again, Jermaine Dupri.
Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah, Dupri. What happened on the 7th of July last Monday? Why you were in the near of one of the Atlanta hip-hop stars?
Yeah, so Jermaine Dupri, again, just, you can't talk Atlanta music without, you know, mentioning him in So Def Records. But he is actually doing a video. He's doing a documentary on a famous place in Atlanta that...
Well, let's just say it. It's Magic City, the world's most famous strip club.
You know, it is what it is. Now, I've never been a part of an official music video. So he put out a call because he wanted to have Falcons fans recreate a tailgate scene. So he was just like, come to this location. Actually, it was the So Def has the billboard. So it was that location. And, you know, I chose not to be in the video, but I wanted to be at the video to check out the scene. Because I had never been on a video, you know, set before. But I mean, granted, it wasn't a set. It was outside. But it was cool to see because, you know, they had, of course, Jermaine Dupri is repping So Def. But he's surrounded by Falcons fans. There's Sean Paul, who is featured on the track with Jermaine. Jermaine, as he says in Welcome to Atlanta, call him the mayor. He stays repping the ATL. So the back of his jersey says Social Death. The front said Atlanta. There were all kind of Jeeps and cars and people just hanging out on the set. So I went there to take pictures. But yeah, so again, music, Atlanta, Magic City for some. You know, it's Atlanta. It is what it is. But yeah, so these are just pictures of me, you know, before the shoot started, hanging out. And it was a vibe. And of course, the Falcons fans, you know, we were talking football. We're ready for the season. Training camp is literally 2 weeks away now. So football, we have made it through another offseason, y'all. Good grief. Football is about to be
What
back.
Was, just out of curiosity, what was the overall vibe with everyone? They're Everybody, excited I mean, or they're like...
It was fun. Well, like I said, because it was kind of, you know, the fans were in one area, and then when they got ready to shoot, they told us to go to the front of where that video was. But, I mean, it was a party vibe. I mean,
nice,
we dance here. You know what I'm saying? So you remember like the song talk about they don't dance no more? We dance in the A.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I know.
Some music, we going to dance. It's not...
We have a video. We have a video. Just put this in, and we can play it a little bit longer because it's nothing officially. So no wonder now
not
about
yet.
25
seconds. The song's not
out. Not yet. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Sounds fair.
Yeah. And again, just kind of you know, as a fan, just seeing how videos are produced, because, you know, they film for a minute and I guess they call it roll the playback, and then everybody's looking at the cameras and then they, you know, start again. So it was just cool for me as a fan to just kind of see how, you know, music videos are made and the production side of things.
But you are not part of the documentary.
The right? Video, right?
The video, no.
No.
You didn't want to do it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are plenty of women in the video. I was just like, you know, let me sit this one out.
I get it.
I mean, this episode is will be the first episode where we have to sign the explicit E. So yeah, it happens right here the first time. So all young people under 16, 18, whatever, yeah, just don't listen, see our.
And of course, there were dollar bills being thrown, making it rain. All those things.
If it's about magic.
Okay. Let us jump because we see the social death sign. This one here.
Yes. Yeah.
And this sign has a particular story I didn't know about, but we have now one big wish I had, and I called you a hot sauce. Prove it immediately after the Falcons bring out the schedule release video, and I see some hints in this video by myself, and you told me, oh, there are many more, and we are sure about, let's talk about these hints, this Easter eggs we can find in the schedule release video. For those who don't remember, this was the Mario Kart from Nintendo, the game, reference, and they made a really, really cool, schedule release video of the Falcons, and it was, of course, too fast to find everything of these hints, so that's why you are here, yeah, and we will talk now about these hints, because the one and the first is this sign, because you can see it. Is it right in the beginning of the video? Yes, I would say.
Yeah, it's right in the beginning.
Right in the beginning, and you can see it right here, yeah, in the middle up right corner, not corner, but in the middle part, that there is a sign again. Why is the sign so important, and what is the story behind this hint?
So, well, when I was living in Atlanta, the original sign was still up. So the sign used to be in a different location. It's kind of like when you came from the airport, you were driving into the city, and it kind of was like a greeting. Welcome to Atlanta, home of Salsa Def Records, coming off of the airport. And it was kind of like a landmark in Atlanta. And when you passed that sign, you knew, oh, I was back home in Atlanta. Like that's, you felt proud, you know, because Salsa Def, Jermaine Dupri representing Atlanta. And it came down, I don't remember which year it came down. So Jermaine Dupri, like, took the billboard down after some time, and it was gone for almost like 10 years, I would say, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And he just recently, I want to say this year or last year,
this year.
Put it back up in a different location though, but it's back.
Ah.
And it's such an important landmark. People always kept asking Jermaine Dupri, can you please put the sign back? Can you please put the sign back? I miss the feeling of seeing the sign when I drive into the city. Okay. So it's back. It's in a different location, but it's back. And that's also why the Falcons had it in the video.
And I should say, it actually, the city of Atlanta on their socials, the mayor went out when it was revealed. And literally, it was a big deal, you know, just saying, hey, the social death sign is back. And he and Jermaine Dupri are at the sign, you know, throwing up the A's, all that good stuff. So the city had there on their socials that the sign was back. And you're right, Hot Sauce, like, you know, there was a period in time after I graduated college, I did not live in Atlanta. So when I came home and, you know, leaving the airport and I would see that off of 75, 85, I knew I was home. It was just a feeling.
Absolutely.
So,
We have something similar. And I don't know, you Hot Sauce, if you know about this, how we say this in English, tradition. Let's say tradition. When you leave Berlin, on the highway, there's on every highway, there's a statue of the Berlin Bear.
Yes, the bear. You know, yes,
the bear. So, do you know that when you drive by car, you have to hit the how would you say hooper?
The horn
to say goodbye and hello to the bear. Did you know about this tradition?
I did not know about honking the horn. I know where the bears are when you drive by them, yes, but I've never heard of that. I've actually driven by and I've never heard anyone honk the horn, but now I will do it since you said so.
Because no Berlin native is still living here. So this is
you're the only one. You're the only one.
The only one. So every time I drive outside Berlin with my family or with my team here, we had team meetings in another city. Every time I hit the horn, and they was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Sorry, it's the Berlin Bear. It's we have to say goodbye." Yeah, and then they start to do this in their family too. And then the wife is asking my employee, "What are you doing?" I mean, it's the bear. You have to say goodbye. I mean, this is tradition, so I can easily understand what you say with the sign, because for me it's the same with the Berlin Bear. So when you come from the airport in November, you will pass the Berlin Bear on the highway. It's in the middle. Yeah, you have to see on the left side when you drive in the middle. And you have to ask the Uber driver or whatever, taxi driver, if you can hit the horn for you. So,
okay. See, I'm learning so much.
Okay, very good.
Does the bear have a name? The Berlin Bear, does he have a name?
Alessandro's the first. I don't know. No, they don't have. Berlin Bear. Berlin Bear. I mean, the city is about 70, 80 years old. Yeah. I don't know. How old is Atlanta? Maybe not so long. I don't know.
That could be another episode, History of Atlanta, because Atlanta used to have a different name, but I will not reveal it now. For another episode, I guess.
Next episode. Another episode. Very good. Very good. Okay.
Atlanta has a rich history. I mean, there was a riot, like, back in the 1800s, downtown Atlanta.
We cover this in the next episode, Lisa. let's go on. We have a lot of pictures here. So I will put one picture to another, and you can tell us just the hints they put in, because they are really, really a lot. So the next one is this one here. Yeah.
When you drive up to Charlotte, this is something you see on interstate, that big peach, when you drive up to Charlotte on the road. Something that's there on the highway. So, you know, I've driven up to DJ in Charlotte a bunch, and you always pass that big peach statue.
So peach is connected to Atlanta. Yeah.
The state of Georgia.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So you see it often on shirts or on hats, putting some badges with the peach. Yeah. Okay. So what we have here? Oh, yeah. Here's a joke. Yeah. Let us talk about this. What happens here?
Well, as anyone who's ever driven a car in Atlanta would know, there's some wild potholes in Atlanta. And I think this is actually the what character that is. That might be the Saints falling into the pothole.
Of course, the Saints. Yeah, these are the Saints.
So you can easily blow up a tire in Atlanta when you don't watch out.
Really?
With those potholes? Yes.
Oh shit! But they have a solution for that, and this is the next hint. Yeah.
And again, who's ever driven a car in Atlanta will know there might be some steel plates on the road that you might have to dodge or drive around.
Wow.
That's the reference here.
And they are big like this. Yeah. And
yeah, sometimes they're, because the potholes gotten huge. Big. So they have to put huge steel plates over on top of them.
I mean, okay, you avoid big traffic jam because of rebuilding this, but you have a lot of traffic jam in Atlanta, so this is maybe not the reason. Okay, anyways, let's go to the next reference. Very nice. I saw it also immediately when the video released. This one here. Yeah, on November, you see Germany, you see Berlin, the capital, the Reichstag, where the government is sitting, and debating all the time. So we have here a direct connection to the game in November with this is for Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yeah, the turkey. This time. And the turkey, above, yes. November, yes. And then you see, yeah, the when it says the schedule, you see the indie game, it says Autobahn. They call Autobahn, the, yeah. You know how they put the map for Mario Kart is named Autobahn for that game.
Ah, okay, cool. Because we have here another hint. Yeah,
exactly.
This you have to explain, because on the left side, when you would drive, you would.
Yeah, you would at that around shortly before that, around that time, New York introduced something like it's called congestion pricing. Yeah. It's basically like a toll you have to drive when you drive into New York. That's why it's like a bunch of traffic there. Yeah. And then you turn to the right, it has Autobahn with the German flag. And actually, if you look to the left, you will see the sign on the church that's famous for the German Autobahn, which clears out the speed limit, and then there's no more speed limit.
Ah, yes.
You see it?
Yeah, now I see it. Yeah, now I see it. On the left side from the right road. Yes. And right before there is the Colts, yeah, the white horse.
Exactly. The horse stands for the Colts, yeah.
For the Colts. Ah, perfect.
They made these clues like, I incredible. Was like, man, what is happening?
When I watched it, I was so excited. Hunt. Yes, it is. I had to go through a couple of times to find all of these. They did their research, you know, to have that sign there with the Autobahn and all of those things, like they really put in work.
I remember I wrote Larry Rudak from the creative part, and I told him, hey Larry, I would like to make like a podcast, a documentary about this. I want to bring all the hints. Can you make me a list? And he just answered, there are so many. And I was like, eh? And now I know, because there are a lot of hints. So everything fine, Larry. I understand when you didn't want to make the list. Is everything okay? Okay, let's go to the next one. This is quite funny here. Look here. What we have here.
Probably one of my favorites, because I will forever hate this man. But this is Bill Belichick and his mistress, I would say. And they had just recently, before the video came out, I think, done a very strange interview, which they then said, we're not going to talk about this. Or she, his reference said, we're not going to talk about this in the interview. And that's what the sign is about. And they drive
and now the question was, how did you meet?
Exactly.
We're not talking about this. Like, what?
So, yeah, it's a bit dubious. The whole situation is a bit dubious. And
oh no.
A nice touch by the Falcons. You know, obviously going back to the Super Bowl and all of that history, we're not going to talk about that. Yeah. But, you know, getting a little joke in on Bill Belichick never hurts. Mm-hmm. Especially after what, and then I think she came back around and wearing the Falcons Super Bowl champion shirt. I think there's a whole thing going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm like, girl, you were 12 when it happened.
Exactly.
Okay?
Sit down.
Lisa gets angry. I mean, what makes me angry in this time where she was 12 was the debate of this thing here, because I was saying myself, this quarterback should be off the whole season, yeah. And the Falcons put this in a hint as well. Look at here, yeah. It looks like a player from Boston, and you get here free air and some football, so everyone can imagine what we talking about here.
Deflategate.
Yeah. Deflategate and smashed mobile phones and
yeah.
We're not talking about this.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is how they do it in Boston. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk something else. What about our friends in Charlotte? Yeah. I heard what's this? What hint is this? Tell me.
So you see on the left side, it's like one of the road warning signs, and it says fresh raccoons ahead. And that's also on the way to Charlotte, back to that peach. And this is a funny reference to actually one of their players eating raccoons. I guess that's
Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yes, that's something they do up there in Charlotte. Leggett. Who knows?
He eats raccoon.
Who?
That's the name of their player that eats raccoons.
Yeah, again, the name, please, because I didn't get it.
Xavier Leggett.
Leggett. The receiver, isn't it? Yeah, the receiver. Okay. Okay.
Is it a running back or a
receiver? I can't remember, yeah. But he does. He has a very heavy accent, and he's funny. But apparently, he's really, like, he's a country boy. Like, you know, fishes and rides horses, and he's raccoon on the side. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. when we talk about meals and eating, yeah, then we have here, yeah, chicken wings.
Obviously, here another. Next to the chicken wings, obviously, there's the piece up, A-Town Down. Freddy's doing the A-Town Down. But one thing to me, synonymous with Atlanta as well, and especially Atlanta food scene, is the best wings in the world. Lemon pepper wings, can't get them anywhere better than Atlanta. So whenever you're in Atlanta, you have to go for chicken wings. Funny thing is here that he's picking up a wing as the weapon on Mario Kart, you know. Yeah. So we'll see in the next scene what happens.
Again, the Saints.
Of course, he's throwing the wings because also in Atlanta, you might have run into a chicken wing laying on the side of the sidewalk or street every now and then.
Yep.
So he's using the wings here as a weapon to kind of distract the Saints.
Perfect. Very fine. So the next one, I never heard. So give us a little bit about Freakin' Nick. 94, is it right?
Well, Freaknik. Well, it started off. The original purpose of it was for students in college in the local Atlanta area, specifically Spelman Morehouse, Clark Atlanta University, and Morris Brown College, to basically have a party before finals. It became such an attraction that it kind of got popularized. Rappers started showing up and people started doing music videos. The Magic City element started to come in. But Freaknik was the name, was the term, which was obviously a portmanteau of picnic and freak. So Freaknik. Okay. So, but basically it's a party vibe, again, music, good times. But it kind of became like this Atlanta phenomenon for a specific amount of time that people who were in college or old enough to hang out at that time would attend. But you'll hear rappers reference Freaknik. Like, you know, it was just one of those kind of moments that can never be recreated in the city. But I will say Freaknik brought a lot of people from other cities and states to the city because, you know, a lot of African-American college kids, you know, large middle class, and they were like, I want more of Atlanta. So it was cool. And now I was in college when that was going on.
So they still use this words, this phrase?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, right, as a reference, it doesn't happen anymore. The city shut it down. It got so big that highways, you know, there would be traffic. I mean, Atlanta traffic is bad already, but back then it wasn't. But, you know, the parties were so big, the influx of people, the city. And so basically the city shut it down. They were like, we can't have y'all out here. So
there is a great documentary about it on Disney Plus. If anybody wants to know
Disney.
More about on Disney Plus, yeah. I think Hulu in the States, Disney Plus here in Europe. If anybody wants to know more about Freaknik.
That's interesting.
We put this also in the description below. I hope I don't forget all the other things. But we have to put this. I have to see it. Nice. Freaknik, 94. Perfect. And then we have a great moment. Lisa, you will tell us what you felt when you saw the big bus coming.
Oh, okay.
What happens? What happens here?
So, I mean, this was when the Georgia Dome was being imploded. Yeah. And so it was a big thing. You know, they had all the explosives and, you know, reporters were there to capture the moment of the Georgia Dome going up, right? at that moment of MARTA bus, there was, you know, because, you know, reporters were everywhere. They were kind of, they had positioned themselves early in the morning, not saying early, 4 or 5 in the morning, right? They had positioned themselves waiting for the moment that the explosion was going to occur. At that moment, a MARTA bus goes in front of, I believe it's the Weather Channel. They were covering the event. And so the you can hear on air, because again, they were live, you know, for the explosion. The MARTA bus comes, and then the person that I guess that's, you know, trying to record the event, you know, he's going off like, move, but because the bus did not move. The bus literally stopped, watched the implosion. Then after everything had happened, what? Then it takes off. And so basically, the funniest part was that man was just like, move, bus. But of course, the bus couldn't hear him, right? And he's, you know, I think he cursed and all that. But it was talking about a funny moment because, you know, two events, you know, the Georgia Dome is going up, you know, being imploded, and then the MARTA bus literally stops and blots the complete view. It was wild. I was there too. I got up early. A lot of good memories in the Georgia Dome, you know? And yeah. So I just felt like as a Falcons fan, as an Atlanta native, I had to witness that for myself. And I witnessed it. It was wild. It was wild.
Yeah, I remember watching a stream of that when then the MARTA bus pulled up. It's hilarious. It should be somewhere on YouTube too. If it,
oh, no yeah, no, that's right. Yeah,
you'll find it. I can remember too that this bus was stopping there and it was like,
it just stopped. Oh, man.
Taking off the sandwich and just watching. Oh, okay, nice. Okay, let's go. Very nice. Okay, one other big reference or big hint. I mean, this is quite obvious. Who out there following our Instagram channel will have seen the short reel we put last year when we were in Atlanta about the Croc Street Tunnel. Yeah, so this was very obvious that you passing or the Falcons passing this area here. You can see maybe the Atlanta Falcons Germany sticker right next to Freddy. Maybe this red point there should be the sticker. I put one there, but it's just a possibility. No, this was very easy. What we have here, Peachtree sign. Ah, okay. Yeah. Tell us about Peachtree.
Well, this something is particularly funny because, you know, you have, I don't know how many, it feels like 100 streets in Atlanta named Peachtree.
Oh, yeah.
Peachtree Row, Peachtree Street, Peachtree Court, Peachtree Avenue, it's, whatever. Yeah. And that's the joke about this, where he says Peachtree in each direction, basically.
Yeah. Airbnb is in the Peachtree Street, I think. I'm not sure right now because now I'm confused about this different things, but I think it's street downtown. So, yeah. Very, very known. Okay, what we have here. This, you have to explain. Rams house joke. What happens here?
Well, I just thought this was funny because you know how the Rams stadium in LA, you have to look at the sign that's below Rams house. It says, all are welcome here. And the Rams stadium is known to have more away fans than home fans in any game.
Okay. That,
These are the small little things they put in there, you know, like
dirty.
Yeah,
I mean, they definitely did their research because I missed so many of these clues for real.
That's why we are the dirty birds. So I mean, dirty birds, dirty jokes. Very good, very good. And then we have another dirty one. This one here.
Obviously, I mean, you want to explain this? This is easy, but this goes back to the Vikings, the NFC Championship game. With the field goal.
And they miss a lot of times again later
to the left.
In playoff games.
Exactly.
They were to the left, it was in 1999, about 7th of January, I think. I have a card, autographed card on Morten Andersen here, right? I cannot see it where it is, but I have one. With the autograph from Morten Andersen. He doesn't miss, or didn't miss, but the Vikings missed. Yeah, a little dirty joke. And last but not least, a rise up.
Just a small little hint, you know, when you play Mario Kart, you got the flying part. But we don't fly, we rise up.
We rise up. Perfect. Wow. Perfect. Thank you, Hot Sauce, for doing the screenshots and the explanation. This was a big wish for me to get all these hints. Hopefully, you know now a little bit more about Atlanta and all these Freaknik 94s and raccoons and everything. So very, very important to know
maybe
about
this.
Maybe
next time the Falcons put out something, you'll have a bit more of an understanding, or maybe you catch your own clue, you know?
Maybe we should take the last year schedule release video and just find
there are some. I have to rewatch it, but I'm sure there is something, yeah.
For sure. We should have a look. So before we go to the Q&A, we have one question for you, Lisa. The well-known part, Lisa learns German, comes right now. We have to do it. And I have to check where is the website here. Let me just have a look I'm a little bit confused here because why? Oh, something happens here. I cannot.
It's okay. We'll do it episode 4.
No.
It's okay. We're good.
No. Oh, I find it. It's no problem. It's just 2 clicks. Look at here. Here you go. I'm a professional. Look, this is the website. Once again, for all those who are the first time here on our channel and our episodes, Atlanta meets Berlin or ATL-BLN. You see it on the logo on the right up corner here, or on my the shirt one or my hat. Yeah, the one of one cap. Yeah, the one of one cap. I have to say it. You can find a guide. What happens here? Oh, I have to go. I'm sorry. It's a little bit hot here in the studio. So here's a guide for you outside from Berlin or Germany, what you need to come in, requirements and language and whatever. And here we have a section not only for Lisa, but for all of you to learn some words. So we get 3 words the last time. Entschuldigung, what happened here? Entschuldigung, Lisa, please, it's your turn. Repeat, Entschuldigung.
Entschuldigung.
Entschuldigung, very good. Then we have thank you with danke. Sorry, I have to say it
danke. In German.
Danke. But you see it, how you have to speak it on the right, on the right side. And then we have bitte.
Bitte.
Bitte. So, now
that's
we...
Very good, Lisa.
Yeah, of course. Accent-free. Accent-free. Now you get a fourth word. This will be goodbye. Yeah? And we will say it in German. There are 2 possibilities. Auf Wiedersehen. Let's go, Lisa.
Wait, I can't get the last syllable. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Perfect. Or when you will do it shortly, like the Italian ciao, it's tschüss. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
Tschüss. Very good.
Tschüss.
Nice.
Perfect. Perfect. Easy. Easy for Lisa. So the next time we will repeat these 4. Wait a second. I have to bring on the stage something.
There we go.
Yeah, here's the right one. Oh, everything is mixed up here. Well, okay. So but now it's the best part. My best part is right now, and let me check where I can find it. Now we will get a phrase again. Yeah.
Okay.
So this time you will try to say what the meaning could be of the German sentence. Or the German phrase, and it's more from the northern part of Germany. Yeah, so we will mix up the different accents. Yeah, I will say it in German, and then I bring it in English, and then we will see what you think about. The German phrase is "Jetzt mal Butter bei die Fische." Hot Sauce is laughing. I love it. So in English, now just butter. With the fish. This is the exactly translation of "Jetzt mal Butter bei die Fische." It's grammatically totally wrong, but it's how you say it. Jetzt mal Butter bei die Fische.
But it has a meaning.
It has
a saying. It is a saying.
It's a saying.
It has a meaning.
Yeah. What would you say, or what would you think is the meaning of now just butter with a fish? Or the fishes, better fishes, maybe. It's, yeah, just butter with the fishes.
This is a very tough one.
Not
as
yeah, it's a tough one. Yes. There's not an English equivalent. I'm just going to say basically something like... not it is what it is, but this is all we have. Like, there's nothing left. Am I close? No.
It's a good guess. It's a good guess.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, that's a sentiment, like, something happened, but...
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Now I'm eager to hear what Alessandro's going to say, what it means, but...
What I found out, I mean, I have no idea. I just tried to find the southern style equivalent, and I found cut the small talk and get to the meat of it.
Okay.
That's pretty good. That's exactly that's what pretty it good. Means, basically. Yeah.
Jetzt mal Butter bei die Fische. Lisa, learn this, please, for the next time.
I'm that kind of person. I don't like small talk. Just cut to the chase. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. It's Atlanta. Yeah, we are.
I
not...
want to be like, it's just butter with the fishes. Right.
Yeah, we are not fishy. We are not fishy. Crazy. We are straight. Yeah, straight ahead. Like very
that.
Good.
That was a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I have one Berlin style for the next time. It's hilarious.
All right.
I love it. I love it. You will see it next time. You will see it next time. Yeah. One question. One question. One Q&A. We had. Yesterday or the morning on Instagram, our story with a question button. And we have one question coming from the south of Germany. And they ask you, will Lisa visit other cities too
when
you come in November? Because the exact idea is Nuremberg. Yeah, Nuremberg is the partner city of Atlanta. So Nuremberg, it's part of, I have to say, Bavaria. I know they will hit me right now, but it's in the big area of Bavaria. Sorry, I'm just correct. And the guys, or the guy who wrote this, is in the near of Nuremberg. So would you or will you really visit other cities too?
Well, I had thought about it, and I really, you know, wanted to explore other cities. It just kind of depends on my time and how much time I can get off work. How far is it from Berlin?
It's about 10 hours walk. Not
No, by train.
You can take a train. You can take a train that takes you straight there. It's about 3.5 hours.
That's not bad. I can make it happen. I'll make it happen. Okay. I want to see, obviously, Berlin is the center of my...
Nope, there she goes.
Magic. Magic happens. Lisa tries to go out from Berlin and we cut her off. Lisa, come back, please. We have some technical problems here. So, but you hear it. Lisa will try to go to other cities too. And hopefully we got her back for saying goodbye, because this was episode number 3. I hope Lisa has no serious problem right now. What a timing, Lisa. Let's go. Come back. Lisa, we're waiting for you. There you go.
No, I'm back.
Lisa, you're back. Okay. I just told the audience that we are finished. We are fine with episode 3. So we kick you a little bit early out. No. How we would like to end this this episode, make this
peace up, peace down.
How again for all of us? Peace up,
peace up, a town down.
Peace up, a town down, and rise up. And thank you for being with us this time. Hit the like button, subscribe, do whatever it takes. Yeah, we have here some animation again. Hope we see you again for episode 4. Give us a little bit of time to share our thoughts. Thank you to Hot Sauce for...
Yes, thank you, DJ Hot Sauce. This was great. Anytime. I learned everything so much from y'all, for real.
Thank you, Lisa, for being here. Of course. Straight from Atlanta. See you next time. Yes. How old was it again, please?
Peace up, A-Town down.
And goodbye.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.